Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 499. Science Faction, your weekly Corona update. Just a quick reminder before I get into everything, the upcoming episode of 500 is coming out this week. It's a big episode. In fact, it's going to be split to 500 and 501. We're going to do a bunch of fun stuff, so bear with me if it takes a little bit longer to get put up. Each one of those episodes is like over an hour long. All right, let's get right on to this week's Corona update for today, October 20th, 2020. Infected worldwide stands at just over 40 million. Infected in the U.S., about 8.5 million. Dead worldwide, just over 1.1 million. And dead in the U.S., around 225,000. Just a reminder, we've already said this before, that health officials have come out and said the real number in the U.S. of deaths can be anywhere from 250 to 350,000. And that's because a lot of people die from complicating factors. They're not getting tested. They're dying home alone. All that stuff can contribute. So general idea is that we probably have many more deaths than that. All right. Let's get into it because we have two very important coronavirus stories to get into. In fact, they're important enough that I'm going to skip all the little ones and just do these. So the first one, a big study came out that says remdesivir doesn't work. Now, there's a WHO study, and it's very shocking because not only have we seen multiple placebo-controlled studies showing that remdesivir does at least shorten stays in hospitals, on average from 15 days down to 11, four-day change, which is fairly statistically significant, there's some lighter evidence that it also decreases mortality. This was a large-scale study where they basically went to a whole bunch of different hospitals and tried four different drugs. That was remdesivir, the famous hydroxychloroquine, lopinavir, and interferon B1A. Now, all of these are repurposed drugs that we're now using to try and fight COVID that weren't necessarily designed for it just because of the timeline of all of this. And all of these have kind of their own hype about them and whether or not they work. And the study, the WHO study, showed on these large trials that it seemed like there was absolutely no benefit, no shorter hospital stays, no decrease in mortality. Now, obviously, the company that made remdesivir came out after that and like, motherfucker, you're fucking with our cash. It works. We swear it works. Let me break it down. It's not really clear right now. We're not 100% sure. We have a lot of reason to believe remdesivir does work. Not only do we have three pretty good placebo-controlled studies that have been published already, and I should note that this particular article is preprint. It hasn't actually been published in a peer-reviewed journal yet. Not only do we have three fairly decently done, well-established studies that show that remdesivir does work at least to shorten hospital stays, the question of mortality is a little bit up in the air, but we have those three, so it seems like, wait a second, what the fuck's going on here? Who is wrong? Did somebody have a bad N number? Did somebody do a study wrong? What's going on? And this is the conflict that science faces, especially hard in a time like this where time is of the essence. Now, some things to consider. We know remdesivir does work to stop certain viral cascades and to kind of keep viral replication in check in certain situations, which we believe does happen in certain coronavirus patients. The thing that seems to be an issue with things like remdesivir, though, is they have markedly different effects based on when you use them. And because remdesivir is an intravenous drug, you can't just get a pill from your doctor and take it at home. The only time you're getting it is if you're in the hospital already, you've got a bad case and something looks really bad. So the idea is remdesivir might work, but it might have such a narrow window to work that you have to get it early enough for it to be effective. And one of the criticisms of this new study is maybe they didn't get it to people until after that period, in which case it is not effective. It is not effective if you start taking remdesivir after the infection has gotten to a certain point. You got too many fucking viral replications going on inside of you. It's not going to help. But maybe if you get it to them, you know, 4 days before that, it will help, i.e. if you're Donald Trump and you can go into Walter Reed and get hooked up to the shit before you have cough number one, then that might be really helpful. So when we see these studies, it's important to remember, we don't know yet. It might be that those three previous placebo-controlled studies had some problems with them, and we haven't had the time to dig through all the nuts and bolts and figure out what they were, and this new WHO study is right. It might be that the WHO study was done wrong. Or it just might be that we are looking at different time windows. Now, the difference between this and hydroxychloroquine is there are no studies that show hydroxychloroquine is effective, at least no good ones. So it's less of a debate. There's less of an issue with it, whereas we do actually have stuff from remdesivir. So this is a legitimate scientific controversy, and it needs to be explored. One of the things we see, especially with the mechanism of action of things like remdesivir, which prevent viral replication, is if you are really early and you have only a little bit of viral replication, and presumably you didn't have a huge viral load infection, and you only have a little bit of replication, then that could be a big deal. Because remember how exponential growth works. Remember, viruses work exponentially. You know, you infect something, you release it, releases a bunch of extra copies. Each one of those copies infects it, releases it, and a bunch of extra copies. So things get really big really fast. And so if you get there after that viral replication has happened, let's say, you know, 100 times, reducing viral replication at that point, even if you cut it down by half, isn't going to do much. Your body's fucked. You got too much in there. But if you get that early on, that's the difference between, you know, having 100 and having 1,000,000 copies, because you're able to stop that exponential growth. What I believe, and this is just my own personal bias, is going on here is we are seeing a drug that is effective, maybe even very effective when used early on, but almost nobody gets to use it early on because it's an intravenous drug that is only given as needed to people with fairly severe cases, and then we only see a small amount of difference, or things like 4 days off of your hospital stay, so you're in there 11 days instead of 15 days. Whereas I think if you're like Trump and you get hooked up to this before you even have symptoms of being sick, it is a very effective drug because you can limit viral replication to something that's essentially not going to hurt you. Very interesting. I will follow up on this because I'm always trying to bring you guys the best information. Chances are, statistically speaking, based on our listenership, we are getting some, like a few people every single day that are getting sick with this disease. And so it is good to put this out there, and hopefully some of you guys can make personal choices about your own health if it is available to you. I don't know, a lot of people can just demand remdesivir, but who knows? Maybe you walk into the doctor, you go, listen, man, I just tested positive. I know I'm going to have a bad case. I have some complicating factors. Hook me up to the good old R right now. You put that in my arm, I want it, or you don't because it's not effective. So I'm always cognizant of the fact that there is some percentage of people listening who either are now or will be infected, and to try and give them the best advice, I will follow up on this. Right now, all we can say is this is a legitimate scientific controversy and we don't know. All right, article number two. We now have the highest number of U.S. infections since July, and it's getting worse. All right, so this is somewhat dire news, but it's, again, based on everybody out there, you should know, especially if you're in the United States. Or, by the way, if you were thinking about traveling here, maybe hold off till 2021, because we are now at more than 60,000 infections per day for multiple weeks, including days that went as high as 70,000 infections per day. This is really fueled by areas in the Midwest and Great Plains, places like North and South Dakota, which are very sparsely populated, but now their per capita infection rate is higher than Arizona. And by the way, Arizona has been the king of like per capita infections since this started. Like, there's like three things they're the king of. It's like per capita infections, beating your wife, and like leathery skin at the age of 27. Like, those three things are paramount in Arizona, and usually COVID as well. But now North Dakota is taking that. And if you remember, if you go all the way back to March when I was talking about this disease and how it will spread, we're starting to see more and more of what I talked about. This will be an urban disease at first. It's going to spread through cities like wildfire. It's going to cause a lot of problems there. And then it's going to be a long-lasting, huge problem in rural areas. That's because this spread is now working its way out to those areas, which, by the way, have lower observance of PPE use. They don't necessarily practice social distancing, and they haven't always had to because they're so isolated, a lot of these places, that it's unlikely that something was going to get to them this summer. But eventually, it gets there. I'm sure that motorcycle rally in Sturgis didn't help. But we're seeing large infection rates in rural areas in the Midwest. This is terrifying for a lot of reasons. One is we are just seeing this huge bump in infections now. In general, that means the hospitalizations are going to follow and the deaths are going to follow after that. And that number doesn't seem to be going down. It's not like we hit some hump and now we're over it and we're working our way down. It's going to be bad for a while. It seems like it's still going up, which is a very scary thing. That's going to be fueled even more so by some of these schools that are opening back up, or this could then bounce around and get back into the communities. And even more so by the end of summertime, because once fall hits, people tend to congregate indoors, respiratory diseases tend to go up. the ability to get infected goes up if everybody's inside and breathing the same air. And quite frankly, as somebody who's here in the US who is super paranoid about COVID and just seeing people walking around, people are getting pretty fucking laxed about wearing masks. Like, even those who were doing it before, even times when people got kind of serious about it, they have gotten laxed, and it's less and less likely that you're going to see people socially distancing and wearing masks nowadays. That's really scary, because this has the potential to bump up even higher this winter. And I don't know what we would do about that. It seems like we don't really have a plan. We don't have a national group going, hey, everybody, start putting on masks. Hey, we need to remember that this is still going around. Hey, I know you all have COVID fatigue and you're tired of wearing these things when you walk around, but guess what? We still need to do it. We've acted almost like the problem has gone away. And it's so weird because it's basically as bad as it's ever been and seeming to get worse. I know there are fans out there like superfan Dwayne who's laughing his ass off in New Zealand with your zero infection rates. In fact, New Zealand had stuff so put together that when they actually did have like a little breakout, like somebody came and brought coronavirus with them and spread it, they tracked it back to like two trash can lids and an elevator button. Like, that's how on the ball they were. Meanwhile, in the US, they're like, we tracked it back to 10% of everybody. I don't know. Fucking everybody has this. They're walking around killing each other. So we need to think about what's going to happen this fall and this winter. Only thing I can do is advise you guys, continue doing PPE, continue social distancing, be particularly careful when you are inside. If you are inside with more than like five people you don't know, you are already at a risky situation. And keep in mind that it's not statistically just random, like how many people have coronavirus versus how many people are around you. If somebody is out and walking around and doing stuff, they are more likely to have coronavirus than somebody who's sitting inside and not doing it. So let's say 1 in 10 people had coronavirus or something. If you see people outside, it's probably like 1 out of 4 of those people. So keep that in mind. Please keep diligent, keep wearing your masks, and of course, keep tuning into Science Faction for our big 500th episode later this week. Thank you so much, and I'll see you back here in a little bit for Science Faction 500.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.